Since 1991, ProTaper has led the way in premium control components and prides themselves on providing an exciting, innovative, and complete product line to fulfill the needs of professional racers and weekend riders alike. Through revolutionary ideas like the oversized 1 1/8-inch handlebar and the micro handlebar kit, the only control system purpose-built for youth riders, ProTaper continues to push the limits and transform how we experience riding our motorcycles. Visit ProTaper.com for more. Everyone, welcome to the Kickstart Podcast presented by ProTaper. I'm Don Maeda, joined here by Chase Curtis with Mike Antonovich and Alex Ray Remote. And before we talk about the St. Louis Supercross, I wanted to say to my guys, happy fifth anniversary, whatever you want to call it. But we're 5 years old now here at SML, and wouldn't rather do it with any other group of guys.
Likewise. I was going to bring a birthday cake in, but I realized you wouldn't eat it, so I'd just be sitting here. So,
Dahmer would eat
it. I don't know. It feels like this last 5 years has just, like, flown by, you know? Like, I remember, I just remember, like, you getting the call, and then you calling, you know, all of us and staying like that. Like, hey, like, I'm, you know, I think you and I, you didn't know what to do, you know, there for a little bit. And we were both just riding mountain bikes and stuff, going up and down the skyline and stuff, just sort of talking about it. And I remember, you know, like you coming over, I think you did a Aaron Plessinger podcast at my house. Yeah. You did, you know, some podcasts with me. And then, you know, this was like, obviously before you got the office at McGrath's, but yeah, I mean, those are very, very early Swap Moto Live stages. So dude, it's crazy how much it's grown, and yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. We had a big period of, oh shit, what do we do? You know, we were trying to buy the magazine back, and that went sideways with the Pecker Bezos intercepted tech scandals. And I don't know, we had this crazy little, in the meantime, Squarespace website going, and we're all just creating content until we knew what was going to happen. And lo and behold, we ended up launching SwapMotoLive.com, and boom, here we are.
It's pretty crazy just to think about, like, even like from my point of view, like just the different offices. Like the other day, I was like, oh, the anniversary's coming up, and I was in here, and I was like, dude, it's crazy, like, thinking about the first shop and the upstairs of McGrath's place, and then the muffler shop, and then now here. And we've been in three spaces in four and a half years. It's crazy.
Yeah. And Chase, it's almost like you were a baby 5 years ago. It seems like too, because like, because that's another thing that's been super cool over the last few years, right? It's like Chase, I feel like you have grown the most, I feel like, as far as like just like a voice and everything.
I was
like
so now, young, like, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have much like opinion. I feel like you were a little bit scared to say like what was on your mind, and like now I feel like you have more of a, you know, I don't know. I just think also, you know, like your videos, like all the filming, like that stuff has grown. Your personality has grown. Like, I mean, dude, now you're hosting shows, dude. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah. Anton, when it all first went down, you know, we're all shitting pants, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what are we going to do? I remember I got an email or a text from Chase. Yo, dude, no matter what happens, I feel like the luckiest 19-year-old in the world getting to hang out with you guys and do this work and do the kind of stuff I've gotten to do. So whatever happens from here on, thank you.
I was at Starbucks editing. I had just filmed with Talon LaFontaine. We did like some thing in the desert.
Yeah.
And like still to this day, one of my favorite videos for some reason, but I was at Starbucks with Twitch's daughter and she was doing homework, and I was like typing and whatnot. And somehow Jeremy found out or something like that. And she's like, my dad said that trans world's
gone.
I'm like, what? So I texted everyone. I was like, oh God.
I was thinking about it the other day. Remember what was happening next door the day that we got the news, Don?
Yeah, Fly Racing was debuting a helmet or the, what was it, at the K1 speed?
Yeah, I think it was like a helmet. It was like kind of more gear, but it was really that helmet that they were really, really hyped on. And I remember I had to walk over like freshly crying and see the entire industry and be like, hey man, we're not gonna be able to come today, we'll talk to you in just a bit, and then going back to my office and just like freaking out. Yeah, but it's wild because like I know everything that we've done in these last few years like is all part of our lives. It's impossible without all of it happening. Like, dude, this weekend, Don, I was walking through the stands to go see one of my friends, and these guys stopped me and they flagged me down and they're like, Anton. And one guy's wearing a Swap Moto Live t-shirt and another guy's wearing the Swap Moto Live like FMF drop shirt. And it's just such a trip. I've never seen these guys before in my life, but like they're repping our stuff so hard. So it's wild to see it taken on like this, because at Transworld, like it was ours, but we were like one in the machine, but this is really, really ours. And we've made such a good mark over the last few years in so many different ways that we've had to.
Yeah. It's cool too. Cause like right after it happened, I think a week after, maybe even a couple of days after, Colton Haker had his movie premiere, and I went to that to see him. And like, I was 19 at the time, and I'd read Transworld as long as I could remember and all that. But I still didn't understand the impact Transworld and what you guys created had on the industry. And like, in my opinion, back then I was like, dude, like, this is it. Like, what are we going to do? What are they going to do? And I remember going to the movie premiere, and everyone that was there, like in the industry, was like, oh, you guys will figure it out. Like, it's crazy to see everyone had so much support and was like, no, they're like, Don's fine. You guys are fine. Like, everyone's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And just from the beginning, and like, I don't know, it's just pretty cool to see that you guys had so much support from the beginning, from so many people.
Yeah. You know, I put together an Instagram post on my personal page last night, and I was thinking about all the people that reached out initially, right?
Mm-hmm.
McGrath, super instrumental, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were at the San Diego Supercross, Lime Cross, and Mary like grabbed me and was like, fucker, you better not like leave. We need your voice. You guys need to figure it out. Buy it back. And then he initially was like, don't be scared to buy it back. I'm like, I can't afford that. And he's like, I'll buy it. Do I have to buy it for you? But like, Jeremy was the first. Villapoto was the second. Because I was in the Cowie rig or something afterward. And he goes, oh, so what the fuck? Am I buying a magazine or what? You know, so we had those two guys. And then my amazing great friend, Danny Malfatti, called and said he'd buy it or whatever. But like, there's so much support, right? Like Josh Hill calling us, hey, we back whatever you do. And then remember he invited us out to the hills to go film that
crazy bike,
snow bike, 80 horsepower jump in the hills. And you know, and then even A-Ray dude was like, hey, whatever you guys do, I'm in, I'm coming with you guys. So it was a tumultuous time for sure. And I think I never felt so unsure of myself and kind of worthless. I was like, dude, I'm 50 years old and I don't have a job for the first time in my life. And having that EDD credit card was really humiliating, but I don't know. Here we are. We launched on April Fool's Day, 2019. And here we are 5 years later, four fools having a good time.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy to think, well, go ahead, Anton.
You know, like Chase, to what you said with the impact that like Transworld had, I looked at some magazines from like what I thought was just like the golden era of 2007 the other day, and I saw how many ads were in it. And then I remember working there and just like how it went, man. It was just such a wild thing to be a part of. And I'm so happy that I did it because I learned so much. And then to be with so many of my friends that are doing it, and then to see like what Casey's doing with Octopi now, what Emery's doing with Align, what Austin got home to go do, what we got to do with Dahmer. And Donnie, like, it's amazing to see how many people are able to do stuff and how I still get to do it with all my friends in one way or another, with this, with you guys, and with those guys at the races each weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah. Now that we finished stroking each other off. Dude, St. Louis was insane.
Nuts.
I mean.
Where do we start?
Well, I guess we start with the 450s like always.
Yeah, but what part of the which, dude? So much.
I guess we'll get straight to the chase. So Cole Seeley had a thing on his Instagram, right? And he's all, I just want to know what you guys think. And it was a poll. Barsha's fault, Jed's fault, racing incident.
Mm-hmm.
I voted racing incident. What do you guys think?
I voted racing incident as well.
Yeah, that's racing incident.
Same.
Yeah. Yep. All right. good.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't know. To me, I put blame more on Jet. I'm gonna be honest with you. I would go like 60-40 Jet bar. I might get a lead for that, but I'm really good. Dude, I mean, it was the first lap, you know, and I feel like, what, am I frozen?
Mm-hmm. Frozen. Your face is frozen funny.
Am I frozen?
You're like, just
damn it.
You gotta pay your bitch. Cricket wireless.
But anyways, dude, I thought I got it figured out. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I think that Jet just needs to be a little bit more, or like, he needed to be a little bit more aware. You know, it was the first lap, you know, everybody's still bunched up together. Barcia had Vince right behind him. So, I mean, if it wasn't, you know, Vince was going to do exactly to Barcia what Barcia was to Jet, you know, but Jet shouldn't have cut down that early the first lap, because everyone's all bunched up together. You know, it's a little bit of it, like track awareness. Everyone's like, oh, dude, he wouldn't have stopped for the turn. Dude, those guys are going so fast into those corners. They don't have to, you don't have to come to a complete stop to make the fucking turn. Like, chill the fuck out on that. And it's just like, yeah, bro, like, he cut down too early in the race. You know, it happens. I think that's a little bit more on him.
Yeah, and to be on his side a little bit, I mean, he hasn't been back there in that situation too much this year, so
yeah.
I think it's just maybe one of those little rookie situations we haven't really seen much of this year.
Do you think he cut down that much, though? I mean, yeah, he cut down a bit.
The corner was weird, dude. It was so
all the
wide.
Corners were weird.
Yeah.
But a lot of the turns were open, you know, and it was a 180 turn. It was a straightaway into a 180. And then back down to another straightaway. So he took a different angle. He went super wide and cut down. And, you know, when you have Barcia behind you, you can't do that, especially on the first lap, you know?
Yeah, because it's not like Hunter went all the way to the outside in the turn before him, and he's not going to want to run it in on him that hot. I went to the Moto Concepts truck afterwards to get the press release quote and everything. And Vince said to me, he's like, yeah, Barcia's saying that was on me, that like he hit him because he was blocking the inside because I was there, huh? And I was like, yeah, I haven't heard. He's like, oh no, that's what he's saying. I'm like, okay. But you know, to all of it happening, like Justin put out his little statement today explaining how it went. He stopped Jet after the race was over. I watched him walk over to the Honda truck with Ali when I was filming, how was your weekend? Dude, they know what happens. Like, it happens. I don't think anybody's bummed about it. It wasn't like it was a targeted takeout. It's just one of those things that, like, a few other things that happened through the night on Saturday night, perfect storm of situations that all just play out in one weird way.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Barcia didn't just like throw his hands up. Like he usually,
oh no, he,
like, I don't know.
He did throw his hands up a couple times, like took his hands off over the triple. No, like as he rode off away from it, like, shit, I can't believe I just did that. And then he even looked back like, oh no, I know I'm going to have to pay for this one. Even as he rode off the track to go off the stadium, like one fan ran down to the guardrail and then flipped Barcia off for taking out Jet. I saw that one. So, like, people were thinking about it. But, we'd only seen the initial replay in the stadium.
Yeah, but usually Barcia's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
I touched someone.
Who
me? Means,
who me?
Who me? No, really? Yeah. But at least he owned up to it. He did the right thing.
Yeah. He totally did. Props to him.
I don't know if we've ever seen from Barcia, but yeah.
No.
So. That was a helmet-to-helmet.
Dude, concept, I can't believe they're both all right. I mean, both of them, dude. That's, if you take some guys who maybe have some weaker heads and are prone to some concussions and do that same crash, they're out or concussed a little bit. I mean, that was heavy.
Yeah. Is there any word? Is Jet totally fine, or was he dingy?
He's all good on that regard. Like, his head's all good. He got like a dead leg and a dead arm. He had like a pinched nerve. So then when he got done with the race, like, he was signing autographs for the few people that were in the paddock after the race was over, before he went back to the hotel, and he was standing up and G worked it out. They said there was no, you know, immediate news of a bad injury or anything, just some inflammation and some stuff that he's just going to have to work out after a pretty severe Charley horse.
He's lucky there's a weekend off.
Yeah, perfect timing for this. I mean, like, never good timing, but this is a good time to have a couple days to have even a reset before a pretty strenuous five rounds ahead. Because it's about to get very, very interesting.
So, dead arm, dead leg, that's why he just kind of circulated the track slowly?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not really.
But even for that regard, pretty ballsy move on that. You know, he could have just as easily pulled off because he was about two laps down, I think, once they did finally get him going. That was just more of a statement of like, I better put these laps in and show that I'm still out here and not go into a 2 week break with any kind of lingering effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't believe his visor stayed on.
Oh no, it did deflect.
Oh.
No, but it wasn't gone.
Wasn't gone, but it did pop off.
Yeah. Side to but side.
I think he willingly did put it back on before he got going again.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Hey, do that, you have to hit it.
Those A-stars. When you guys were watching the race, did you see Eli pull a 7-stack of his laminates off before the last moto?
Yeah.
That was sick.
Did he have 14 on, or did he just take them off?
I don't know. No, he still had some on after that. But I just saw that. I was just like, he's not going to need those. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just a 14 stack.
Okay.
I think it was a 4. Yeah.
Yeah, because when he pulled it off, I was like, oh, he's just taking the top one off. But he was like this. And then when he threw it off, it looked rigid, you know, like a 7-stack does. But I don't know. So is there anyone that wasn't stoked to see Eli win? I mean, that was pretty amazing.
And it sounded like people were pretty stoked, too, in the Sutton Stadium.
Yeah. So.
Well, Don, in the last like month and a half, has just been saying that
I know.
Eli is washed up and he's done.
Is he?
But typical Eli to just have an issue and have something that's bugging him and not freaking tell anyone. So we all think he's just over. And then sure enough, oh, by the way, yeah, I twisted my ankle and my ankle's been hurting for a couple weeks.
Bro,
typical.
I had a lot of deep thoughts that hit me during the middle of that very awkward Eli interview during Newsbreak. You know, because like there were I hit record on that, I knew I was one of a million other dorks that were like lining up to hit him with our self-analysis for like why you've been terrible for the last few weeks. And he knows what's been going on. And I was just like, fuck, dude, I know you're coming to the race to win $100,000 and all this other stuff. And like all of us are hoping for a couple hundred thousand clicks on like a YouTube video. I get where you're not talking to us, and he's figured out that angle of it so, so well. It's hilarious.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Did am I the only one? Did I see things? I didn't rewind it yet, but like after he won the first one and he's so stoked, he looked at the camera and I swear he went like,
you said that. I didn't see.
But then went like took it back. I got to go watch it.
Yeah, because Kenny's thing is that.
The shotgun, yeah, right? Yeah. But I swear that's what I saw. He was like, yeah, yeah. Like reset his thumbs up. But yeah, I don't know. Pretty amazing. So the other big occurrence is the Red Cross flag. And it's funny because yesterday morning I was mopping because my wife's family was all coming over and I was just thinking about it. Remember earlier in the season, I forgot which race it was, but Vince messed up and Jet ran into the back of him.
Yeah, out of the whoops. Yeah. Arizona, I think.
And like this time, Vince is laid out in between the jumps.
Nah, he was on the side of the track.
Well, but still, Vince has something to do with hosing Jet in a roundabout way again. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a bummer. I mean, Red Cross. I mean, how many times have you ever had a Red Cross flag on the finish line checker flag lap?
Yeah, like, and it's not waving.
They can't wave.
It's not waving. Yeah.
Well, they can.
But they can't
wave
it. Supposed
to wave it.
You couldn't wave that one. Think about that. Well, that and like it's also like how you're going to wave it with the white flag, you know, because then you're not going to see the Red Cross flag. And to the point of there's so many people that are saying, you know, they shouldn't have put it out there. Vince was out of the way. He really wasn't because I was standing right there. The rear wheel of the bike was locked up. He couldn't get it out of gear. And earlier in the day, everybody had been casing that double, just trying to protect the inside line because you wouldn't have all of the drive out of it. So they had to have that flag out there because if somebody did try to go for a last lap pass and didn't have the power to do it, but just wants to get across that transponder first, they're going to land on Vince. I mean, I was standing right there. So they had to do what they did. But there's definitely going to have to be a lot of evaluation in what goes on after this as far as lights and all that goes, like maybe a light before the finish line corner to alert them of something in like the inside. That little tough block that Cooper got caught up on in the last turn, if there was something like a pedestal light right there to flash to let them know, hey, something at the finish line that's there. Chris, one of the main AMA flaggers that's out there, he and I were talking on Saturday, and he explained to me, like, with all of this lapper, we can't see the flag. They're flagging us too much. They're trying to implement a three-stage policy, I guess, of how the flag is going to be displayed. So if the guys are like two lanes behind you and you're a lapper and they're coming up to you, they're going to just like hang the flag out and show you, here's the blue flag. Just be alert that the leaders are coming. If they're reeling in on you, he'll give you like a tap to like motion that it's there. And then if it's urgent, like, yo, they're one jump away, that's when the severe flag is going. And that's they're cool. Hoping that the riders take notice of that and then indicate like, hey, we've seen what you guys are doing. And then maybe in a few weeks, this is a known thing that's expressed to everybody in a riders meeting. But they're hoping that riders take note of this. Hey, we're doing this so you see that we're trying to show you three different stages. It's not just always frantic waving every time.
Mm-hmm. And well, then I feel like the flashing lights are only on the triples?
No, there's actually a lot of flashing lights right now. Yeah. There's a lot within the rhythm sections and stuff like that. There just wasn't one at the finish line in this right there. They're getting more used to it. You know, and I think that that's something as more local tracks even implement lights. Like, it's a good thing. Even in the AMA amateur book, there's certain sections that say what lights are out there. One thing that I was thinking about yesterday and that I was going to ask you guys, especially A-Ray, as a guy that raced and then had like a training program with Davey. You think about guys like Swanee doing no clutch motos to learn momentum, or we're going to do sprint intervals and we're going to do this and that. Why would you as a trainer not want to throw that out there every now and then just to keep guys sharp? Hey, maybe I should go step out on a jump so you have to roll it every now and then just to try a different strategy so you can be alert that, hey, there's ever-changing situations in a race instead of just doing a 15-minute heater every single time.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm sure some people do it. I've never done it. I mean, we've definitely done, like, no clutch, no brake motos, that type of stuff. I wouldn't step out
on a jump in front of A-Ray.
I think we've done
some. A-Ray, you've done no like clutch motos?
Similar. Yeah. It's not pretty. I can't ride very well without a clutch. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. But I don't know. That's definitely something that could keep the guys definitely on their toes, you know. And I would assume that that's something that the guys at, you know, 83 Star Farm might be doing here in the future. But I want to go back to the to Anton just talking about like the blue flag, you know, and how they hold it and how like they'll wave it and then they'll wave it aggressively. I've been noticing that they have been doing that for the past several years, you know, in the main events, you know, and they've never said anything at the riders meetings. They've never said anything like that, like, hey, this is, you know, they never noticed it. I noticed it personally just from racing, you know, and being some of the main events over the years, but they've never said anything like that in the riders meeting. So like, maybe that's something that they need to, like, guys, blue cross flag, like there's different stages of blue cross flags, you know, or the blue lapper flag, you know. So, I don't know.
No, I agree with that 100%. Like, it's one of those things that, like, little bits of communication here and there, ideas that we've never thought about before, just seems like racer common sense isn't spread all the way through, because there's things that some people pick up on that other people never find out about.
Yeah.
You think about how every weekend the track walk is maybe within an hour of each other, but people frantically have to look at the schedule to find out when exactly it is so they don't miss it.
I mean, a riders meeting pretty much is just an hour of socializing.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, like, so it took the results quite some time to come out.
Yeah, it did.
For race two. So, I mean, I imagine the video review and the decision-making was just a horrible, horrible procedure for the AMA guys. So Anderson was docked four positions because he jumped the red cross twice.
White flag and checker flag.
Okay, white flag and checker flag. So Jet didn't jump it until the checkered flag.
I think, right? Webb jumped at white flag.
White flag.
Yeah.
Okay, but there are some guys who. I'm sorry. When did the flag come out? Did it come out?
White flag came Jet out. The white flag came out right after Jet and Eli pretty much went over the finish line. So standing right there, they went by, and then a few seconds later, as Vince's bike let go, or broke, or whatever, then the flag got put out. But because it's the last lap and there's so many people coming through and there are lappers, then the guy had to pull the lapper flag in from the white flag to display the cross flag that was out. And then they're watching to see if Vince is getting the bike off the track to make sure, okay, what's going on right below me? Where is everybody else at? And then the guy's also getting radioed, Jet's this far away, get ready to throw the checkered flag and everything that's there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so a few seconds after Jet and Eli and the main group goes through, then it goes out Jason when Jason comes by. When Jason comes by, AP noticed it after he jumped over. If you see the video, he looks back and sees it. So again, it's just a lot of different things that are happening. But I mean, like, it would it have been helped if the flagger could have stepped out 3 feet onto the jump, you know, because nobody's coming mm-hmm. that far into the thing. Yeah, but he also has a lot of other things going on there. Yeah, it's just a lot of bad situations that they're going to have to look at going forward, and even how long it took for those results to come out, because all of the team managers were outside the AMA truck after the race was over Saturday night anyway, trying to get their time to discuss what they were going to do.
Yeah.
Hey, Ray, if that jumps, the takeoff's not so rutted, or is anyone missing it? Missing the flag?
Yeah. Yeah, they
still
are. Yeah, they're still going to miss it. Just with how tight the turn is and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the where the flag was located, you know, I mean, if the dude was standing on the jump, like holding the flag, then yeah, they would have been able to see it. But there's a lot going on out of a turn like that, you know.
I asked Cooper on Friday in the news break.
I think there still would have been guys. I'm just saying, I think that there would still be guys jumping it, even if, you know, the jump wasn't as rutted. Go ahead, Anton.
Sorry, Ari. I asked Cooper on Friday for the news break because I looked at that photo of him after he won Seattle, and he's just staring straight up into the sky. And I'm like, where do you look? He said he doesn't know where he looks. So I can only imagine that if you ask every racer in the pit, where are you looking when you cross the finish line, they're probably not looking at the checkered flag just to make sure they got it, you know? So I'm sure it's pretty common that the guys wouldn't be making sure to see it. They're probably just making sure that time's up.
Damn. So, but still, again, of the penalties, some riders jumped it on the white flag, some jumped on the checkered flag, right?
Mm-hmm. Some did both.
Some did both, right? Yes. But was there any position change because someone rolled
massive.
It and someone jumped?
Yeah,
massive, yeah.
Wow. So what place did Hunter Lawrence actually cross the finish line before the penalties?
I want to say fifth.
I want to say fifth, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was fifth.
Wow.
Because I think fourth place got him because he rolled, I want to say.
So he rolled.
I think he rolled on the white flag, I think. Gosh, I might be butchering this, but I'm pretty sure he rolled white flag.
Dude, okay. At first, I was like hitting refresh to see the results come up, and I was like, "God, why can't they figure this out?" I'm like, "That's why."
A lot of riders.
I thought it was just a matter of Jet, you know.
Yeah. But,
so Eli, the veteran, he saw it and rolled, right?
Looked all the really made sure to look.
Wow!
Hey, Chase. I sent that text message. Are you with me on Oldenburg's crash? Changes the whole dynamic of the race.
I absolutely hate that it was Mitchell, but yes.
I know. I hated that it was Mitchell. Oh,
dude. It's he cased the triple, right?
Yeah. Dude, he said that he had never tried to do that triple before, but he's like, well, I got to do it now. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm leading.
Oh, yeah. It definitely did, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because,
how was bike helicoptered afterwards?
Right.
That it's fortunate that didn't clean anyone out.
Yeah.
That
took your head off. But his crash changed Kenny's race because Kenny poked on the radiator or something.
Yeah, I did something because within a few laps, he went by those chicane back to back 180s and I saw like a puff of smoke and I was like, well, that was weird. And he went by two laps later and then I saw it again. I was like, oh no, he definitely has something going. And then when I rewatched the race, when he has that moment when he cases that rhythm when Jet's right behind him, that was pretty gnarly. I wonder if that was the bike starting to let go.
Slow down.
Yeah. But
that was borderline about to bail, it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Like
how fast his feet moved, that was, that's Kenny's quick twitch muscles in motion. But then if you go back and you look at the best lap times of the race, even though Ken finished so far back, he's only 0.02 off of Eli's best lap. So then he has to jump on the B bike for the second moto. Because when he came off, the bike was, you could see coolant all over the engine and everything, and he dropped out of the, you know, even the top 15. Jumps on the B bike, but because they hadn't ridden it, there was, the brakes just weren't working, the setup was way off, and then he came off from the second moto telling them, like, he went right up to Billy and to Larry and told them, hey, this is what's going on, like, I can't ride this bike the way it is, we gotta change it.
I figured that's what was going on. It was a bummer, because I had some money from Bet Online on Kenny winning, just because it was Triple Crown and all that, but, oh yeah, you did too. Yeah, no.
I lost it all.
Wait, hold on. Did anyone put any money on Eli? Because I feel like the odds would have been great.
Dude, I was so close. It was great, but it wasn't as good as like Kenny. So I was like, ah, I'll just do Kenny. Yeah, no. Mm. That's a bummer. Not good.
Dang.
I'm skipping lunch.
Yeah.
I lost all my money for the second weekend in a row.
Yeah, I lost $320.
Oh, shit.
I lost every single bet I made.
How many did you make?
Oh, man.
Six or five. No, five.
What were they?
I think I did. So Kenny winning, Jordan Smith winning, and then like three podium bets. I can't remember off the top of my head.
See, the podium bet thing, that doesn't come online until...
It was like Saturday morning this week.
Okay, yeah. So I bet on Kenny winning and RJ Hampshire winning. And it was pretty apparent that I lost all my money in the first race.
Yeah.
I was like, ah. Then Eileen's like, I told you I don't approve of this. I'm all, dude, it's fun. I mean, you know, we're impartial journalists, but it's also kind of fun to throw a little bet down, right?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I think my favorite bet I ever made was when I bet Dahmer. Well, he tried to bet me that he would beat me at Paris one time. Mm-hmm. And so we bet dinner at Fleming's with our wives.
Oh, wow.
And he actually beat me in the first moto. And then the second moto, he left the door open this much. And I just went, ka-plow! Ran into a giant brick wall. But I made the pass.
So you guys did like traditional points, second motos.
Yeah, I won the overall. Okay. So. But like, yeah, I guess I should only just bet on myself. Like, let's have some Swap Moto Live odds on betonline.ag.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm just losing right now. But, okay, so regardless of the DQ or the penalties in the first moto, Eli wins overall, 1-2-1.
The red cross flag thing?
Yeah, regardless of that.
Yeah.
Like, if they didn't penalize anyone, he would have gone 1-2-1. He would have won the overall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't watch. How was your weekend, Anton? Did you get to talk to him, or was it just all press conference?
Oh, yeah, no, he bailed. Yeah, they were all out. Yeah, all of them bailed. There are, I have to say this, everybody's RVs. As I pulled into the stadium on Saturday, like, we all know I live in St. Louis. Everybody knows the reputation for it. To think that all of the top racers were in downtown St. Louis in their multi-million-dollar buses and all of that in downtown St. Louis overnight is hilarious, because it's just gunshots all night. Like, so funny. But yeah, all those guys bounced as soon as the thing was over. But in the press conference, Eli was pretty open in it. At first, he just said, you know, it was just about putting all the pieces of everything together and executing, which is, you know, what it is to get the race. And then he said about the ankle injury that he's been having. And then even at one point that he had said that, you know, he was starting to have like concerns, like, man, was his comeback worth it and everything. So although he didn't say much, you know, he didn't pour his heart out, he said, you know, pretty pointed things that are there. And I think that it makes us all go back and think, like, well, okay, how much more is he going to keep racing now? Because I, like I said last week, I think he goes next year, but I really think he goes next year now.
Yeah, crazy.
Mm. So, yeah. So Webb came out kind of like the big winner this weekend.
Yeah.
He gained a bunch of points.
He's an interesting one. Like, I feel like twice now, both Triple Crowns, he's been one of the fastest guys, and he's had weird incidences that are just kind of ruined his night. Like this weekend, he got stuck on that tough block on the inside and just kind of ruined his race that from that point on. Mm-hmm. And then that Indy, I forget what he did. Oh, Cade. He got Caded. But yeah, he definitely looked, in my opinion, he looked fast, and he looked like he made a lot of passes going towards the front that one moto. But yeah, he definitely got lucky.
How about how quick he regrouped after that mistake, right when he passed Malcolm and then overshoots the first whoop and then regroups and then passes Malcolm again and then gaps him?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Hey, did anyone else forget about the Triple Crown Award or
every year?
Yeah,
or
I was
every year.
Dude, I thought the Eli got penalized or something.
Yeah. Oh, when they were giving it to him?
Yeah, I was like, what the frick? How do you win?
Yeah. No. So, yeah. Is there besides the trophy, is there a cash prize for?
I don't think so. Like, remember when they had the Vans Triple Crown, and if you won the three, you got the $100,000, and DV almost won it that year. Mm-hmm. That would be a good thing to get $100,000 behind.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yep.
So there's
just
no
mid-season incentives. You know, like SMX is cool. That's sick that we have that. Big deal for sure. But you know, the NBA just did that interleague championship thing for whatever that was. You know, but with just to drum up more excitement in the middle of the year, hey, $100,000 if you can put these three together.
Yeah.
Was there a bonus if you won all three?
There's no.
Is there anything? No, nothing.
Got that trophy to take home.
No, it's just a trophy.
It's funny because everybody forgets about it every single year. Remember the first year that Eli won it and it wasn't very good of a night? And he's like, yeah, sick. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter Lawrence gets his first podium. I mean, part of it is being consistent, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where would he have finished overall if there was no penalties issued, like sixth?
Probably.
Seventh?
Yeah, probably around there. But he was up there. I mean, he was leading at one point and then crashed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he definitely seems a lot better.
Yeah.
I wonder if his shoulder's like fully good now.
Said it's better, but he hurt his foot. So he was a little timid after time qualifying was over. He even pulled off early. But yeah, I mean, to see him lead the laps that he did in that first one, that was pretty good. Especially after there was a lot of concern if he would even race the night show.
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think, guys? Is his first 450 podium? Yeah. You're on the podium. You earned it technically. You have the trophy and all that. But remember when Joe Shimoda got his first podium, it was because somebody crashed or something. He's like,
wasn't happy.
This isn't really my podium.
Yeah.
I mean, is Hunter like that or is he stoked? Because I know you did talk to him.
Yeah, he seemed cool with it. You know, I don't think he was like relishing in it, like, wow, this is a career accomplishment. Oh my God, I did it, all this hard work. But it was just like, yeah, cool. Like, it's just another thing that I got to do. I don't think, like, I mean, typical Hunter, he was just very straightforward about how he felt through everything. It didn't seem like he was overly psyched on it.
Yeah.
It's weird with Hunter. Like, I was talking to my friend about it the other day. As far as rookies, J. Coop and Hunter, obviously Jet too, but. As far as seeing who, like, I've been comparing them a lot each round, and Hunter obviously has the better results, but Jay Coop is for some reason catching my attention more every single week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's just the raw speed kind of showing through that he's had in 250 class with the fast qualifiers, but I keep noticing Jay Coop, and then I'm like, oh crap, Hunter's better, a couple positions ahead.
He's passing his way forward too. He's getting a lot of good guys. Like, he got Kenny early in the year. He's passed Eli. He's passed Cooper. He's passed Barsha. Everybody that he needs to get around to solidify himself as a pretty good front runner, he's done. He was at the top of the board for a little bit this weekend even, so it looked like another time that he's going to be top qualifier. Because I'm with you, Chase. I don't really put Jed in the rookie of the year consideration. Like, let somebody else have something right now. But it's been pretty tit for tat between him and Hunter. And both guys have had their moments. You know, both of them didn't make a main event. Hunter had the injury, which makes you wonder. But then he comes back and gets a podium like that. So that's pretty even now again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. Was it second main when it was the three-star 450 guys all in a row?
Yeah.
But what else? 450 class. Are we going to commercial?
AC?
I think he's going to be okay, I guess. But I just want to say, dude, Benny Bloss has been riding really, really good the last few weeks on that new beta.
Mm-hmm.
Beta. I mean, he's been riding good. And then Mookie, I feel like it was a little bit more of a better weekend for him.
Seventh.
You know?
Yeah.
Seventh or so. I don't know. I mean, obviously, we all expected more out of him, you know, just from all the buzz we heard about, you know, preseason, always ripping, flying at the test track, all that stuff. But, you know, maybe they're still going through some stuff with the new bike.
And then Colt had a good weekend, aside from the bike issue in the second second main. I mean, he was up there.
Yeah, he good in the LCQ. I think he was figuring some things out through the afternoon, but then put those good laps together in the afternoon. On the Benny thing, you know, if all these people that want hole shot devices taken away, watch Benny start in the second moto because he's right there by the camera and the front fork ain't locked down. So,
did it fail?
Yeah.
No, it broke. It was broken when they went down. They didn't get to fix it because his crash in the first moto twisted the bike up so badly. Oh. But you just see Big Benny just like this, and the front fork is fully extended. And as the gate goes down and he dumps it, it does some motion. So that's what hole shots would look like if
where was his head? Devices. Was his head like over his tip of his front fender?
Touching the front. So is that okay? Then was that the set on the broadcast? Was that the camera behind them? Because
no, it's like right. He's coming in right over the gate. Yeah, it's coming in right over the gate. The one that's the boom right next to it on the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but he started really poorly.
Really
right?
Bad. Really, really bad.
Yeah, because I was texting with Moto Memes and I'm all, whoa, that beta looks like a powerhouse. Because he was so far back. I didn't realize it was a hole shot device, though.
Yeah. Hmm. Dude, yeah, Benny had a big fan turnout because that's home race. So he was like,
oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, like, the helmet was so good.
Cool. Shout out Crutcher.
So that's a Crutcher wrap?
Yeah.
Dude, how do you wrap a round helmet like that?
I don't know.
Rye has no seams or no angles.
Helmet wraps seem like a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I ordered one.
You did?
Yeah, Backyard Designs has helmet wraps. Yeah. So I want to see what it's
like. I have one still hanging up, but it still looks fine. Hmm.
Okay.
Anything else? Oh, AC though.
Oh, yeah, AC.
He's fine, I think.
High ankle sprain, he said.
Oof. That didn't look good at all, dude.
Dude, Anton, did you know that Shanti was bailing and going to NASCAR?
Yeah. And with this happening, Kranz comes back on the road, so that's pretty huge.
Oh. Kranz has been at the test track with him for the last month or so, so I was wondering what was going on.
Yeah, so that's a good deal for Brian to come back into it, so that'll be cool. And then Adam has been saying that he's got big news coming soon, so, you know. I think we all kind of see where it's going.
Mm. You think go straight into announcing?
I don't know. He'd be good at it.
Coming soon before outdoors coming soon?
Something about it. I don't know. Something on Twitter about in the next few weeks or something I saw.
Hmm. Dang. Is Shanti, do you know who Shanti is wrenching for? What team?
He's going to do engine development for Toyota.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It's a big one.
North Carolina?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, already sold the house. Yeah, they're out.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Moving to North Carolina.
Jeez. At least he's still mountain bike.
Yeah, it's flat.
It's a different kind of mountain bike, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
The e-bike will still rip.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more XC out there, unless you're like you're closer to the Tennessee border. Yeah.
A lot of tree roots.
Oof.
A lot of tucked front ends.
Yo, shout out Jeremy Han because he made the Triple Crown at Indy in the 250 class and then makes it in the 450 class at St. Louis, so that's pretty cool because nobody else is doing that.
Nice. Yeah.
Was he on a 250? Gear.
No, he's on a 450 at this one.
He's on a 450? Yeah. Hey, speaking O'Neil of your O'Neil gear, what jersey did you have Colt in?
Yeah, was that?
He was in
the airplane bomber one with the shark?
No, it's Element. It's the Element Warhawk.
Yeah, the one that looks like a World War II plane.
I don't know if it looks like a World War II plane, but I mean, that's what it's called. I mean, I think it looks
military
pretty good.
Type.
Yeah.
But it has like the shark teeth on it?
No, it doesn't have the shark teeth on it, Don. No.
You said it looks pretty good.
Any shark teeth anywhere. Yeah, no, it looks great.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it looks great.
Yeah. All right.
You want a set? Did you want to try it?
Yeah, send him a set.
Yeah.
I want a set of Rancid.
Huh? Yeah, we'll send him a set.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We're back for more.
X-Brand Goggles was launched in 2008, and over the past two decades, they've earned a reputation as one of the elite eyewear choices in our sport. The newest offering, the Lucid Goggle, features an XDO injection-molded lens for exceptional optical clarity, as well as superior protection against the massive roost that modern-day four-stroke bikes throw. At Swapmoto Live, we love the Lucid Goggle for its huge field of vision. Check them out at xbrand.com. That's eksbrand.com. If you're on the West Coast and you're looking for a one-stop shop, you need to visit the guys at STR Motorsports. formerly known as Shock Therapy Racing. With over 30 years of experience, your bike will be in great hands. Whether you're looking for a custom performance suspension revalve or just a basic rebuild, they've got you covered. STR also offers motor building services. Whether you need a stock engine rebuilt or a full-blown race motor, they're the place to go. Conveniently located in Wildomar, California, they're very close to Lake Elsinore and Parrish Raceway. Additionally, they maintain a full stock of oils, tires, and tubes. They can get pretty much anything you need. Check them out at shocktherapysuspension.com.
Bill's Pipes has been producing championship-winning high-performance exhaust systems for all types of off-road motorcycles since 1974. Whether you're a mini racer or simply a premix burning diehard, our two-stroke pipes and silencers deliver unbeatable performance gains. Our four-stroke exhaust systems provide affordable performance gains and are available for motocross, off-road, ATV, and side-by-side applications. Best of all, every product from Bill's Pipes is produced and assembled in the USA. Check us out at billspipesusa.com.
Did you know that in addition to being some of the coolest people on motocross, the crew at WUSA are the official importers of Talon, Kite, and Edge hubs, as well as the leading resource for DID and Excel rims? Through the years, we've tested plenty of aftermarket wheels, and the wheel building crew at WUSA can't be beat. WUSA is the source for all things associated with wheels, including sprockets, spoke wrenches, tire irons, and more. Mention Swap Moto Live when ordering anything from WUSA and get a nice little discount too. Check them out at WUSA.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan Villapoto. Now that I'm living the retired life and not bound to factory team sponsors, I'm able to choose my partners when it comes to building my bikes. I choose Backyard Designs to create my motorcycle graphics because they do a great job. Their kits look great, go on easy, and last long.
Backyard Design has the most comprehensive and user-friendly graphic website in the sport. Use the discount code SWATMOTO at checkout for a discount at backyarddesignsusa.com.
G'day guys, this is 9-time X Games gold medalist Jared McNeil. Off the motocross bike, I spend plenty of time cross-training on my intense mountain bike. From the super fast and efficient Sniper cross-country bike to the aggressive Primer and Tracer trail bikes, or even the amazing Taser e-bike. Every Intense is designed and developed in the United States and built to the highest standards. A life on two wheels certainly includes pedals too. So give the crew at IntenseCycles.com a look.
What's up? This is Christian Craig. As a motocross racer, being in top physical shape is a must, and my favorite way to train is cycling. And whether it's road biking or mountain biking, I rely on Roy Cyclery to keep my bikes in perfect running order.
Roy Cyclery has been servicing Old Town Upland, California since 1962. Mention the Swap Moto Live podcast for additional discounts in the show.
Guts Racing, the leaders in seat technology. Go to gutsracing.com today and design your custom seat cover. We try to ship all custom seat covers within 36 business hours. We also offer free shipping to the lower 48 states. Once again, that's gutsracing.com.
Over the past 40 years, EVS Sports has established themselves as the leaders in innovation and technology when it comes to designing protection gear for today's motocross riders. Athletes like RJ Hampshire, Kyle Chisholm, Axel Hodges, and Travis Pastrana all wear EVS when they race, ride, or whatever Travis decides to do that day. Check out EVS-sports.com to gear up like the pros.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Kickstart Podcast presented by Pro Taper. Hey, guess what we did this weekend? Friday. We finally got that Gas MC65 out to the track under the butt of Mr. Young Owen Mars, and it was a ripper, dude. I didn't start it up until we were at the track, and we came to find out before the test that Owen hadn't ridden a 65 really. He's like a hot shot on a 50, and he's been practicing his clutch and shifting on a 1973 MR50 Honda. So
what is that?
Oh, nice.
It's what? Your dad probably has one, right?
Dude, that's when my parents were born, right?
Yeah, MR50. It's a Honda Peewee, but it has a transmission, three speeds.
What?
But anyway, he had the clutch down and the shifting down pretty good. But when I started it up, holy crap, that thing was... It seemed pretty fast. I was gonna was riding it from where we were shooting photos of it back to the truck, and I was like, nye, 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 nye. And I clutch it once, and I'm, Bri-yat! And I was like, dude, old man loops out, gas and pits, goes to hospital. So I shut it down real fast. But yeah, Race Tech did a great job with the engine and the suspension. He said, what did he say? It was really soft, like,
he said, like a bouncy house. Soft like a bouncy house, and just went softer and softer and softer.
Yeah.
Which I think was a good thing for him. So
yeah. So you got to love little kid bike test reviews. But, but yeah, big shout out to Race Tech there for doing the cylinder and head and suspension. We have a really happy, happy, happy 8-year-old on the bike. So
that's awesome.
Moving on to the 250 class.
Kitch.
Not as exciting as the 450s, I'll say, but
damn. I can't remember a time where I've seen someone so dominant on a 250, honestly. Well, just kidding.
I mean, just shout out to Mitch Payton, though, like, for sure. Like,
dude.
Just thinking, like, it's been a long time since he's had, like, double red plates, you know, and winning like this and in the hunt for the championship. You know, it's been the star train for quite a while. And I feel like, you know, it's getting back to the whole, like, hey, Pro Circuit Kawasaki's the one on top, right? Like, I mean, growing up, everyone always wanted to ride for Mitch, you know, and I guess here in the last, you know, couple of years, it's been like all the kids want to ride for Star, right? So, like, now it's sort of like, hey, like, Pro Circuit's still good. Pro Circuit's still around. Pro Circuit is still, like, they're still freaking really, really good bikes. And it's cool to see. It's cool to see what Kitch is doing. It's cool to see what McAdoo's doing, you know, on the other coast. But it's just freaking awesome shit.
You know what would be sick? I think we should try and get A-Ray to ride to test a PC bike at the end of the year. That'd be sick.
Dude, let's do it now. I'll ride it on Supercross track. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, should be.
I don't know. They might have to revalve it.
No, I'll ride it.
How's that number, Harry? Is it still the same?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it ain't changed.
Who's the heaviest guy on PC, you think? Seth?
They're all little guys, man.
Dude, Seth's freaking built, though.
Yeah, he's ripped.
I bet Seth is.
He would have to be the heaviest just by muscle mass, right?
Yeah.
Or the Levi's tall.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think how I was watching the race again yesterday. I'm starting to think how good Levi's going to be on a 450 in about 2 years. Yeah. I think that him and Jet could be a very good matchup that nobody really expected. Because even when he was on a 450 at Loretta's a couple years ago, just how smooth and flowy he was as like a younger guy on a bike. And then he's already 23, so he's got some maturity on him. It's not going to be as big of a transition. I think that could be a pretty unexpected dynamic that could be fun to watch.
How crazy would it be if he gets to the 480 class and just crushes it? He's been like, that is his MO throughout his career, is the unexpected, like, out-of-nowhere kid. Amateur ranks, 250 even winning right now. I think a lot of people are surprised.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Dude, he was flawless off the line.
Like, every race he was
up front.
He led every single lap, which I don't know when that happened last.
It looked like he was wheeling through transitions, just like how off the back he was, and just kept the bike real nice and weighted through the most rutted transitions. When I shot the second practice from the top of the stadium, it was fun to watch because he's just flowing.
Even
as he hit the triple in the middle of the race, you could just see him like take bigger movements on it because he knew he had it controlled.
That's sick.
And do you guys, I mean, it varies from year to year, but do you guys think the West Coast is a little bit more stacked than the East right now, or which one is? Yeah, I mean, I would say that the West has a little bit more depth, just with good guys. So, and for him to be, you know, just kind of walking away with it almost a little bit, like towards the end of here. Like, I mean, I thought RJ would be a bit better and there would be some closer racing, but the last couple of weeks, it's been the Levi Kitchen show for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, what happened to RJ starts this week?
Not great.
He's usually a lot better than that.
I think that really hurt him because he was I haven't looked at lap times for the main event, but obviously he was fastest in qualifying and by a good margins too. So I don't know. Bad starts for sure though.
His fast lap was in that qualifying video.
What are you guys allowed to do to the great A-Ray? Just bring a brush?
Bring a brush. I think no outside tooling. I would have to look at the rule book. You know, you can bring a towel and wipe off some stuff.
spray adhesive.
Yeah, I don't think you can do like spray adhesive or anything like that. No, I think I asked someone if you could use like a torch. I think like if it say like a rain race or something, like bring a torch down there and just get it like all hot.
Yeah. Anton, have you ever seen Marchbanks touch the grate or anything like with his hands?
I don't think so.
Because he does a spray adhesive on his gloves.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be a good tactic. Just swiping it.
Does he?
Yeah, but then what? But then you would get all the dirt on the gloves.
Oh yeah, that's true. Never mind.
Yeah. See, there's like Starling. He puts the spray adhesive on his hand and then puts the glove on, so the glove sticks to his hand. So you're saying that Marchbanks? Oh, he does both. Oh wow.
I've always seen him glue the glove to his hand, but I've seen him like back a couple years ago spray the glove too. Which gnarly.
Like that long term effect of that on like a freshly blistered hand. Ooh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, right, dude?
I'm good.
Keep the glove on all day.
I can't think of anything that was amazing in the 250 class except Levi. Except Joe's amazingly bad start in the first heat, the first main.
Yeah.
And then came back, but it was good to see Joe riding well up front, but he's obviously not satisfied yet.
Yeah, I mean, the juju start in the first main, you know, just with how well, like, he was just, like, fighting for the position. Obviously, it fell apart from him a little bit there. I think he got a little bit of arm pump, but, I mean, that was cool to see him just pretty racy, you know, as a rookie. I
held Joe off for a long time.
Yeah, he did.
But it was like he probably had arm pump because he held Joe off for a long time, and then as soon as Joe got by, I was like, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I bet he pumped up a little bit.
He said that he'd never ridden anything like that.
Oh, really?
Like yeah. If you watch us, how was your weekend? I was like, you know, dude, I know that you're from Havasu, and we, you know, they're like ground you ride on as hard as the concrete we're on. And he's like, yeah, I'm not very good in these conditions, so we tried to change something when we started the day, and it was no good. So I went back to my California setup and just made it work. So you can tell that he's definitely still a rookie, learning how to ride different places. And then, you know, being in California the whole year, pros and cons of it, he's familiar with the West Coast, but at the same time, it's not the new terrain that he's going to face every weekend when the series changes like this. He's just going to experience that at the races when he goes to him.
I think I'm going to bet on him, like, for a podium at Colorado.
I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I was saying that, like, I mean, he had a long break. I don't know why. He did have an injury, but I don't know why he didn't go east at least a little bit. Like, him and Davey spend a week, 2 weeks in Florida, Georgia, wherever, to ride different conditions other than the two KTM tracks that they have here in California. So I don't know why he didn't do that, but I think maybe in the future that's something that they should probably look at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, just on the heat. Yeah, just on the heat of the outdoors, that would be a good thing to learn, because desert dry heat and, you know, high point heat's two different heat.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Hey, where's Millsap's new track? It's in Havasu area, do you know?
It is. No, it's outside of Havasu. Shit, where is that place at? He sent it to me.
It is Arizona, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah, it's Arizona. I'll look real quick. You guys can. He sent it to me. It is
really good battles shaping up right now, though, as Avery finds that, between the top four guys, because Joe and Marchbanks are also pretty close in points, and they're very, very, very feisty to get there. And as close as they are in the races, those guys always end up getting to the top three, top four every race as it is anyway. Like, there was no surprise when I saw Joe and RJ on the podium and the end of the first moto when they were fifth, sixth at the early part of it.
Mm-hmm. Joe's in Florida testing this week.
Mm. Outdoors?
I don't know. I bet. Regardless, maybe he just saw how bad it was going to rain and knew that SoCal would be thrashed.
Yeah, probably.
He said in his How Was Your Weekend that he's still learning the bike, that this is the first time that the testing has really been on him, that what Honda can do for him is pretty unlimited. We're back at Pro Circuit. The setup that Ivan came up with and that everybody at PC would do, that's what you got, and you could dial it in from there. But as he finds out more about this bike and the transition's different and he's seeing more of what Honda can do, it's a lot for him to take in. So he's still getting used to that. Yeah, that was cool to hear him be open about that.
Yeah, he's probably lacking a little guidance as far as a test rider for the team goes.
Mm-hmm. And then he, you know, there is a new Honda coming pretty soon for the 450. 250 will follow that too. So a lot of transition stuff to learn from there.
Yeah.
I imagine it's probably pretty hard for him to go to Lars and go, I don't like this about the bike. And it's like the bike won everything last year.
Yeah, I know. Do you think part of, like, I was talking to some buddies, and Joe's performances and results this year almost makes me believe that Jet and Hunter did, like, a good job making that bike look so good last year and the year prior.
Yeah. Because I know that when Jake Weimer was on Cali with Villopoto, he was all frustrated because he'd go, dude, the bike sucks. It doesn't do this. They go, RV's winning on it. But obviously RV rode completely different than Weimer. He steers with the rear end and rides pretty aggro. But I wonder if that's kind of what's going on with Joe and his setup.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know, because it sounds like they're letting him get away from, like, the Lawrence base setup. Like, we know this works, but you can deviate from it if this works better for you. Because even a few weeks ago, he said that he had taken the start maps off the bike, that he had never ridden with one before at PC, and he didn't like how it worked. Mm-hmm. And we know how good the boys were at starts last year. You know, that's a proven part of the engine. But if Honda's going to take that off, I'm sure that they'll adjust the thing around him a little bit more. It might be more him finding out what exactly it is he likes about such a different motorcycle, too.
Is he still working with the? Is he working with the same Showa tech he had last year, or no? Do you know?
I don't know.
It doesn't look like it.
I don't know. It's usually the same guys that have been around the Showa for quite some time. Don, who's the Japanese guy that's at Showa at Honda?
Well, Kaz Chiba is that guy. I think.
You're it's Kaz. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Kaz.
Yeah, Kaz was doing chin ups off the lift gate. On Friday, it was sick. Like, full body deadlift chin-ups.
Nice.
It's funny story. Masuda, actually,
who's the MCR Showa guy. Yeah. He's the one that does little Russian dance, like squatting down.
Okay.
I actually sent Kaz a text the other day because I was in the Asian market and with my wife, and we got some of those high shoes, and he loves high shoes because he was a suspension tech, I believe, at Yamaha whenever I was there. So I sent him pictures of the Haichu. But yeah, it's I think it's him and Shane Drew too. Shane Drew, I'm not sure. I think he's in house as well. So yeah,
Shane's Honda's chassis R&D crew chief. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Haichus. You're talking about the Japanese Starburst?
Yes.
Those things?
Dude, they're so good. So good.
207. Gotta quit eating those things.
Yeah, well,
Korean corn dog now.
Yeah, hey, we're not stopping, dude. Once, like, I'm just swelling up, not stopping.
Swelling,
yeah, swelling.
Any more race talk?
Town Hawkins. That's probably one of the best races of his career. Props to him.
I didn't recognize him.
What? Because the bleached
hair. Blonde hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carson was ripping.
Dude, yeah, third fastest lap fire.
But during the race?
A bad start.
Outside the top
race. The first race, he was like 18th, I think, on the first lap. So not great. Which is weird because he's been getting good starts all year. So I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mosman got landed on. Mosman got landed
on. God, dude. Yeah.
Poor Mosey. I'm so sad. I'm so sad.
Who he got landed he took on a good...
Who's the other kid that's on AEO? Lux Turner?
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Ooh. Yeah, right on the head. No visor. Right, pretty much right. Concussion. Oh yeah,
it looked like it.
Poor Michael. I was really, really happy to see him on Friday. You know, and they took a hard slam on Saturday in qualifying, and then shook that off and rejoined the group. That one was completely out of his control. He didn't do anything. He was just there.
Damn.
Yeah, he's like one of the guys that, you know, we're saying, Barsha and Jet. Smack their heads together and they're both okay.
Yeah, Mosman's one of the guys.
Mosman's one of the guys.
Dude. If that was Mosman and Bogle, they're both out, dude.
Those are adding up too.
Mosey told me that he called Star when he heard that Deegan was hurt. So that was pretty ballsy of him to put that out there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And he is on a multi-year deal because Bobby thinks he can be a champion. So he has a place to go to.
Good. That's good.
Is he out?
Cool deal.
He's got some time. Denver got some time. Or Nashville because of the showdown.
Yeah, they got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
3 weeks. April 20th is the same weekend as Two Stroke Nationals.
That's right.
Two Stroke National, Tennessee.
Which... What are you guys doing on the off weekend before we wrap things up?
I got a race at Cahuilla. Hey, did you go to Archview?
I did not go to Archview. I tried. What? I was wiped. I thought about it, though, on Friday as I drove to the track for press day. I haven't started my bike since a deep freeze. Like, it literally got to the negatives over the winter. And I was like, you know, I also have these new Alpine Stars boots that I've never even put on that I pretty much need to wear. Yeah, I don't think I need to go ride. And that's like, you know, that's a day to get hurt, 100%. That's the St. Louis a day to get hurt. Yeah. Okay, Don, hey. So you know how A-Ray last week was explaining how the Archview dirt is the same as the St. Louis dirt? Mm-hmm. Finding out where this dirt comes from has been a lifelong obsession for me as a kid because, like, literally I've been going to this race forever. It's from, like, 3 miles away from where I grew up and, like, straight dead arrow from where Archview is, 5 miles from there. Hmm. So it's...
I thought you were going to say it's
quarry, like...
Oh, no, it's the it's the radon dirt. You know, it's the radiated treated dirt that they came through in 94 and paid everybody for. So it's special dirt. That's probably why it's got so much traction. But it rained on Monday, so this is why the track was so rutted. It rained on Monday pretty heavily here, and then they loaded in all of that dirt on Tuesday. All the dirt's left out, just open, is not covered. Anybody that watches, like, NASCAR or oval track racing or whatever, where they race at in St. Louis, that's where all of that dirt is stored. So it was just left out. It got hit with like an inch of rain on Monday and then got taken into the stadium. So shouldn't have been as ruddy as it was. It just got a last minute soaking.
Hmm. All right. That makes sense.
Because it was rutted.
Are you going to go to Archview this weekend then, Anton?
I'd like to go to Archview this weekend if the weather's nice.
Dude, that track's dope. Did you see that that photo I posted on my story?
I did.
Awesome.
That's so good, dude.
And
so
you know
good.
exactly where that tabletop is.
Because I sent you the picture right of me on the tabletop.
Hey, right in front of the grandstands where everybody sits and Bubba's just...
Bro, it gets wild on that tabletop. You'll see some people that don't need to be scrubbing for their girlfriends and good for them, but yikes. That's sick. It'll make you reassess if you want to go out for your wristband group.
That's what I used to love about, like, Wednesday night at Paris. Just all the guys impressing their chicks on the finish line. So sick.
Yeah.
Avery, what are you doing for your weekend off?
Racing. Might do some riding. Yeah.
Cui's going to be snowing, dude.
For one, I'm not driving all the way down there. No. If I ride, it will be LACR if I ride.
Dahmer might be going to that Joshua Tree track.
What?
Ooh,
Sunday.
That would be good if it's raining.
Actually, you know what? Maybe,
dude.
Actually, how about this? Why don't we book some Airbnbs in Joshua Tree, go glamping, and then go ride at the track, the new track? I've done that before. Stargaze.
If I ride a dirt bike this weekend, it's at Cahuilla. What's up with the racing?
Because there's a race.
In the snow.
Oh, there's a race.
Wow. Yeah, it's a Swap Moto Race Series race at Cahuilla.
I've done the last two races that I've done haven't gone very well, Don. I got my ass kicked by a bunch of 12-year-olds. Engine cap flies out and my bike is smoking everywhere.
Did you get a new one yet?
Got a new one. I rode like last Wednesday, I think.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah, good. I did. Bike, after work.
Bike was okay?
Oh, it runs like a scalded dog.
Yeah. I never heard from Braden Herr if it was on them that the cap fell off.
Yeah, they're not.
Do you think that I should have drained the oil that was in it and then...
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
And flush it even because you might have got
you
some
just
dirt.
Added some more?
Yeah, I just added it and just put the cap on.
Of course. Hey, so is today the official return of One Industries?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, okay. Tomorrow. You didn't hear that, guys. I'm not editing it out. I mean, it's no secret.
Why would Avery know about that?
Well, because
he's in the gear world?
He's in a company that starts with the O. All the O's hang out.
I know a lot of people already bought that stuff, though.
Yeah. So, it's no secret.
I heard it's, like, off the shelves at Fun Bike Center. Gone.
It is. Yeah, so... From what I know, that it's in some stores in Southern California, and it is flying off the shelves. So that's good.
Okay.
Well, when are you going to have it on the runway, A-Ray?
The runway? What runway? With Trevor?
Yeah.
Trevor. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that would be cool.
That shit's going to hit a fashion magazine inadvertently in the next, like, 6 weeks, like, one way or another. Good for Trevor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for Trevor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh. That's sick.
Bro. Dang. That's sick. I have a One Industries jacket that, drawing a blank on his name, gave me from the Indie Trade Show. I'll put that on in remembrance for tomorrow, A-Ray. That was my first industry jacket. Yes, yes. Big black leather plastic jacket.
I have, you know, I don't know where you guys got all this stuff, but I don't have any One Industries clothing or anything like that. So
I might fuck around and put my Rockstar One Industries hat from when I was 5 years old on tomorrow.
Everybody wear your Misfits gear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I do want to get from One Industries is maybe like, I don't know if they'll ever do like, you know, graphics or anything like that in the future, but I do want to get some old school Bud Light graphics for my freaking two stroke before I sell it.
Bud Light?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Kid Rock. Kid Rock's still drinking Bud Light, dude. We're all good.
Is he? I thought he was shooting with a shotgun.
Yeah, what happened? Dude, he switched.
Nah, dude, he's drinking it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap up this show because it's going south. So, guys, thanks for listening to the Kickstart podcast, presented by Pro Taper. And if you have any ideas about what we should talk about next week after the off weekend, drop a comment below. And we'll see you next time.
Since 1991, ProTaper has led the way in premium control components and prides themselves on providing an exciting, innovative, and complete product line to fulfill the needs of professional racers and weekend riders alike. Through revolutionary ideas like the oversized 1 1/8-inch handlebar and the micro handlebar kit, the only control system purpose-built for youth riders, ProTaper continues to push the limits and transform how we experience riding our motorcycles. Visit ProTaper.com for more.